Most High. If it's convenient for you, I'll ask you to stand as we sing this song together. We'll sing all verses once again.
From the earth, from the sky, break forth the joyful cry. Oh, Lord, it's King Most High, crucified, He revived. That's why He's King Most High. My Lord is great and good, and He will hear my cry. He'll ever live and ever reign, my Lord and King Most High. Humble birth held the word, till angel voice sang forth, a king is born this day. Come to stay. My Lord is great and good, and He will hear my cry. He'll ever live and ever reign, my Lord and King Most High. Words He gave me to say,
have your Bible this evening, if you'll turn with me to the 73rd Psalm. That's where our study will come from this evening, Psalm 73. And if you would, for just a moment, begin reading with me at verse 16. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood therein. In this great psalm, we've discovered so far, as we've looked at this man, as he started the psalm, that God is good. And in our first lesson, we identified Asaph admits that God is good, but that he had a problem. And he said that his problem was that he had almost slipped. He said, my feet had almost stumbled, and my steps had nearly slipped, and this was due to envy of the wicked and the boastful. And so this man is humble enough to admit that he almost went away from God. Then in our second study, we observed this man took some steps to keep from falling. That he got a foothold, if you would, to keep from stumbling and to keep from slipping away from God. But getting a foothold is only the beginning. And though he was able to get more solid footing, he still, if you take note in verse 17, is painful. He's still in anguish. He is one who, when he looks out, he still sees these things and he still has some problems. So here was a man who was able to get more solid footing, but he's still in great anguish of mind and heart. But let's look and observe what really began to help this man get back right with God. And tonight it could be that you understand exactly how this man felt. Maybe you have slipped. Maybe your feet have stumbled. Maybe you've wandered away from God. And one of the great lessons I think we can learn to get back in fellowship with God is to look at this man Asaph and notice what he did when his faith was on trial. And take note that this man began to think spiritually. That's the first thing this man began to do. He was no longer slipping away from God, but thoughts began to go towards God in a different way. There's no way to rationalize sin. So the first thing this man started to do when he was in anguish of mind and heart, and it was too painful for him, look at what changed his heart. In verse 16, he said, "When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me." But look at verse 17. "Until," underscore that word, "I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein." Now, this brings us to the second part of our study, and that is, how does one develop spiritual thinking? This man was in great anguish until he went into the sanctuary of God. Then the man started to think spiritually. He started to think about other things instead of just using man's rationalization. He began to use God's Word. And so, I would think to think about what are some things that one might do to develop this type of spiritual thinking. First, notice what he did. He literally went to the house of God. The first thing that will help is for one to begin to think about spiritual lines is to go to the house of God. You remember that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul was writing to the young evangelist, he tells him exactly what the house of God is. If you look in verse 15, he said you ought to know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is not this building, but the house of God is the people of God. And he literally needed to be among the people of God. And that is when God's people come together. The church is when we as a collectivity come together. You'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 when they were to withdraw from a man. It was when the church had come together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26 or verse 18 when they were going to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's when they came together. So I understand the importance of coming together. Every person should come to the house of God in order to get their thinking right. It's so easy during the week to think about yourself and about carnal things, but when we come together, our minds are to be upon spiritual things. But secondly, notice this man begin to see other people. Look at the latter part of verse 17. He said, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood the end." Their end. Whose end? The end of the people he'd been envious of previously. Now, when one comes to the house of God, it may amaze some to find others have problems as well. Sometimes we're surprised to see we're not the only ones with problems. But when we see the problems of others and not just our own, then we begin to think in spiritual terms. If we just see our own problems, we often become carnal and selfish in our thinking. If you have your Bible, you remember when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, look at what he says. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Look at that word common. No temptation hath overtaken you. Look at that statement. Except such as common to man. In other words, name one thing in your life that you faced that nobody else has faced. You say, I have a death of a loved one. Well, can you look around and see there are many who've suffered the same thing? And maybe you could say, well, I deal with sickness and I feel sorry for those who abide their life in sickness. But we can look around and see others dealing with the same thing. Others can talk about sin in their family and talk about a child that's unfaithful. And as hurtful as that is, we look around and see other people suffering the same thing. So trouble so often comes is because of our lack of spiritual thinking. We're thinking about ourself and ourself only. And any time my mind is only upon myself, I become selfish in my thinking and not spiritual in my thinking. You look at the problems in a local church. We've had some here, and there'll be continued to have some. But spiritual thinking is needed. But that brings up something else. Bible study is a great help. Let me point to the fact that the Bible is a great help to get one thinking spiritually. Have you woken up in the morning and just felt blah? When was the last time you just picked up your Bible and began to read and get a spiritual thought for the day? Open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And when you come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice with me, if you will, what is said in verse 12. Notice what he talks about in verse 12 to Timothy. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now he said you need to be prepared for it, Timothy. That is something I need to understand in my study, that I will, as a Christian, suffer persecution. That's why when I come together with the saints of God, I'm encouraged because I see some of the same things that they endure. Then in the 119th Psalm, you remember that David said in verse 71 that it was good that I was afflicted. He said because beforehand he was wrong and he was astray, but his affliction was good because it brought him back to God. So the Bible is our guide, and spiritual thinking is needed. I need to study the book so I could have spiritual thinking. That's the very purpose of it. In 2 Timothy 2:15, what was it Paul said? Study to show thyself approved. I want us to understand we need to study the Word of God. But secondly, we need to meditate on it. Not just glance at it, but we need to think about it. When was the last time we did, as it said in Psalm 1, when David said, I meditated on your Word. I delighted on it. In the 119th Psalm, he said, it was my food. David meditated. David's mind dwelled upon the Word of God. He would take something and he would read it and he would just think about the greatness of God. Have you ever just stopped and looked at some passage and thought about how great God is? And that is exactly what David did. But think about a third thing. Prayer. Have you ever thought about the value of prayer? Consider that one's mind is upon God when they pray. Prayer is a great help in spiritual thinking about spiritual thinking. Prayer is a good way to get on the right path of thinking. In Matthew chapter 6, what did Jesus teach His disciples? We call it the Lord's Prayer. Really, it's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer would be more John 17. But it's fine. Call it the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. He taught His disciples to pray for daily bread. And how to live with the fellow man and make sure that the will of God be done. Thus we realize that we're coming to the throne of the grace of God, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, and we can come boldly. Can I say something with all kindness and yet candor? I'm fearful that prayer life has suffered today. Sometimes I'll glance on Facebook and I read about people saying they'll pray for somebody. And I've often wondered, how many times have we said that and then didn't do it? How many times do we just say it and we don't mean it? But I'll tell you something, what I've learned to do is when I say I'm going to pray for someone, I pray for them right then. Because I don't want to lie to them. And I'll say a prayer for them at that exact moment, because we understand that prayer is a spiritual talk to the God of heaven. We're going to our Father. And I'll tell you something, my friend. If our prayer life is lacking, then our spiritual thinking will be off. If I never talk to God and I never read God's Word and I never think about God's Word, then how can I be spiritually minded? All spiritual things have been eliminated. And so I think about the fact that here this man said, when I went to the house of God and I saw therein, then I began to think in more spiritual terms. But that brings up something else. Have you ever stopped to think about what not spiritual thinking will do? When one doesn't spiritually think, open your Bible to the book of John in the first chapter. It's easy to see what happens when one will not use spiritual thinking. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, when Jesus came, it said He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. They rejected the Christ. Why? They were not thinking in spiritual terms. They were looking for a king who would come and take them out of Roman occupation and lead them as David did of old. They didn't understand a spiritual kingdom. And today, people question His birth. People question if He was really born of a virgin. Today, people question His kingdom. They don't realize that it's a spiritual kingdom, the church. You remember Jesus said in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, My soldiers would fight. But My kingdom is not of this world." And many people try to rationalize it and miss it. I want to take that. I want to make three or four thoughts in the lesson's yours. What's needed today is spiritual thinking. As long as man tries to solve his problems in rational thinking without spiritual thinking, he will not rise above his problems. And I think this is the great trouble with so many today. They're like Nicodemus in John 3. When Jesus said, "Ye must be born again," he tried to rationalize it. How can I go back into my mother's womb? He didn't understand a spiritual lesson. And some rationalize like this. They never think spiritually. They try to rationalize everything, and as a result, they often go under instead of rising above their problems. Some things you're just not going to be able to understand and think out. There are some problems that you can fret over and I can fret over and think about and ruminate over and live over and over again, and I can't do anything about it and I can't understand it because I'm thinking in human terms. And there are some things that I just need to stop and look at it from a spiritual aspect. Change my way of looking at things. If I always feel sorry for myself because of a loss, then, my friend, I begin to try to rationalize why I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that, and I only feel for myself, then I'll tell you something, I'm not going to live the way I should, and I'll sink into a deeper and deeper depression because I'm not rising above the problem thinking about spiritual things. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the third chapter. And when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he makes a great statement, and it's one of the most outstanding statements in the divine Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, look, if you will, at verse 20. And he says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Can God do above what we ask? Oh, He can do more than that. Can God do abundantly above what we ask? Paul says, no, you're not even getting enough adjectives down. He gives us a super superlative, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. That's how great God is. And I'll tell you, we need to have our mind upon God. And secondly, we need to learn to develop spiritual thinking. We come to worship and we see others who believe in God. We see others who have more problems than we have. And we look at those individuals and they lift us up. Every time I begin to think carnally and feel sorry for myself, I come to services and I see some people who have had to do great things to get here. And they have almost hobbled in with great pain, but they're here to serve their God. And I'll tell you what, that puts me to shame. I would to God that we would look around and see others whose faith is so great and they're spiritually thinking about how they can worship their God. And then I tell you, not only do we need to literally be here, but we need to study the Bible, not just here, but at home. Meditate upon His Word. Pray to God. But finally, if I don't think in spiritual terms, I miss the great teaching. Some miss great Bible teaching because they can't think in a spiritual manner. We dwell in physical bodies, but our battle, our hope, is in the spirit that is within us. The body will decay, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. But we will be given a new body in the resurrection. So in order to keep from falling, we need to rise above, and that is to think in a spiritual manner. How did he do that in the 73rd Psalm? When he came to the sanctuary of God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful that the man came and he began to see that life isn't about all these things he was envious of? Now, this sermon is to me as much as to anyone. So often, when we look around and we say, why is it that these people prosper while we hurt? We need to get above the thought. I remember one time riding along, and I was talking with my wife, and she made a great statement. She said, we don't always see blessings the same way God sees blessings. And that's exactly right. And sometimes when you have a sick child, you have a sick parent, you look at the burden of it, but you don't see the blessing. Sometimes God has blessed us more than we realize, but we don't see it because we're looking on earthly terms and not spiritual terms. And I'll never rise above my problems until I get a spiritual mind and think the way God wants me to think. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you could be baptized for the remission of your sins, or if you need to be restored, you could be restored.